This is the Chicago City Cast with Danny Burke, presented by Bet Rivers.
All righty, plenty to go over in this edition of the Chicago City Cast, presented by Bet Rivers. I'm Danny Burke, your host, and if you haven't heard, well, you must be living under a rock because the Bears have their new GM. Everybody welcome Ryan Poles to the Bears organization. Ryan Poles, if you are unfamiliar, he was the Chiefs' assistant director of player personnel in 2008. Poles actually signed with the Bears as an undrafted free agent, oddly enough. I mean, full circle ending. How about it? Played at Boston College, and look, he's got experience with a great team, and that's the most important part about it. He spent one season in his current role with the Chiefs. Currently, or not currently anymore, but what he did do was oversee college scouting across the country, assist with pro scouting. He also prepares the team for free agency, the draft, oversees the team's out-of-town area scouts. He was also a finalist for the Giants general manager position last week, and last year he interviewed for a couple other teams too. I think the Panthers were one of them, and then this year it came down to the Vikings and Bears. So look, this guy obviously kills it and has killed it in every single interview that he's been involved with, and certainly made a lasting impression with the Chicago Bears. So I guess he stood out after his initial interview on Friday. That gave him the second interview today, being Tuesday, and he began with the Chiefs in the front office in 2009 as the team's player personnel assistant. Spent the following 3 years as a college scout administrator before becoming the college scouting director in 2013. And then he went to director of college scouting in 2017. Oddly enough, maybe not oddly enough, but coincidentally enough, same year the Chiefs drafted quarterback Patrick Mahomes. He was promoted again to assistant director of player personnel in 2018. And then he had that until his new role this season. So, looking at Ryan Poles, like we said, the interesting thing is that the Vikings also had him narrowed down too. So what does that tell you? When I first hear that, a couple things, and we'll get to the to McCaskey picking him up at the airport and everybody's thoughts on that. But when I see that news kind of coming about, because everybody's freaking out now going, oh, we see these three final candidates that are making the list for the Bears, right? It's going to be Caldwell, Quinn, and Eberflus are currently the interviews that Ryan Poles will conduct by the end of the day tomorrow, reportedly. The Bears blog, at the Bears blog, does a great job reporting all of this insider info, honestly. And look, a lot of people are following him along, and he's been right with a lot of things. So I think you can pretty much trust, for the most part, what this account says. And look, if that's true, that's fantastic, because you don't want to have another John Fox, another Ryan Pace situation. And to me, you got to believe that, in the sense that Ryan Poles isn't going to take this Bears job over the Vikings job, per se, or any job, unless he has full autonomy and he can do what he wants. He realizes the struggles the Bears have had. He realizes how this front office operates, okay? He's not just going in blindly to get a job just to get a job. Like, he's had other options, or will have, or would have had other options. So it's not like he's just taking it to take it. He's making sure the stipulations are in favor of him so he can have control of this team. And if there's a team where you want full control with ownership that admittedly doesn't know that much and they're just fans, the Bears organization is the one to do it, as long as it's not kind of like a dictatorship and McCaskey's making sure he does everything correct. But that's where we're sitting right now. Those are the three finalists, which, no, it's not a sexy list. I think we can all agree on that. But at the end of the day, Jim Caldwell was the last Lions coach to have a winning record, and for the lack of talent and dominance that team had, honestly, he did pretty well. And I'm not advocating for Jim Caldwell by any means, folks. I mean, you know me, my list has pretty much been Flores, Leftwich, and Dable have been my top three in no specific order. With Caldwell, I would only want the Caldwell situation if he came on for like offensive coordinator and they brought either Dan Quinn or Eberflus in as head coach. This is narrowing it down to those three guys, because Quinn and Eberflus are the other two finalists. Now, it's unknown if Ryan Poles will expand his list, which realistically you would hope and think he would do it, right? And then there were the speculation, Schefter saying Jim Caldwell's in, you know, in the building and everything, and that George loves Caldwell, front runner, and the Bill Polian connection, and that may be true. But again, at the same time, guys, that doesn't mean anything. And we'll find out more by tomorrow. If you're Ryan Poles, unless you already have an immediate guy you want who may be snagged up, I honestly think this could take a little bit of time. And not time in the sense of like 2-3 weeks. I'm saying we probably got till the end of the week, maybe the beginning of next week, and then we'll find out more. If something happens tomorrow, I'm not going to be shocked either, considering he's going to be talking one-on-one to all three of those guys. But things get a little bit interesting now, okay? Because Ryan Poles, in Colts defensive coordinator, he's in the final candidacy, Matt Eberflus, have built a relationship the last few years. And Poles is also close with ex-Dolphins coach Brian Flores, both having played football at Boston College. So that also adds a different ingredient to the mix. And, well, we'll see what happens with that. Do you want any of those guys? Albert Breer tweeted about this, by the way. I believe it was him saying how they were close and stuff. But, man, I don't know. It's interesting. I really don't want Dan Quinn. I think I'm sitting in the same boat as a majority of Bears fans. And there's nothing wrong with Dan Quinn. Like, he is a great person from all I've heard. He's a great players coach, I'm sure. Everybody likes him. Very well liked. Made it to the Super Bowl with the Falcons. The thing that scares me about Quinn is 28-3 being his lasting legacy if he can't get the job done with Chicago. Okay? Now, the reports are that he's going to bring in a killer staff along with him. Okay, if that's the case, my guess would be it's going to be Caldwell as OC, and then who knows who's going to be defensive-minded for the DC position, even though Dan Quinn's already defensive-minded. So, I don't know, man. I mean, look, I still don't have Dan Quinn in my top three. The only way I would be content with it, or at least maybe adhering to it or just accepting to it would be the better word, would be if that staff is very impressive. Eberflus, on the other side, I think would still be the better choice for head coach almost. You know, give him a shot. He's got experience, success with the Colts. Bring in a good OC. Maybe it's Caldwell, who does well with quarterbacks, great with offenses, even though he's old. That could be a successful recipe. The reason you don't really want Caldwell as your head coach, it's not because of what's happened in the past. Look, he had success with Peyton Manning and the Colts, had success, which is damn near impossible to do with the Lions, but he's 67 years old, guys. I mean, you're hiring a GM who's 36 years old, Ryan Poles, so it would be hard to imagine that he, you know, hires a guy almost twice his age into the mix for head coach. It doesn't mean it can't happen. You would think that Ryan Poles, a younger guy, would try to lean toward the direction of where the NFL is moving, which is, as we know, quarterback play, offensive minded. Doesn't mean the head coach has to be strictly offense. I understand that. But to not give any of them, besides Jim Caldwell, who's been out of the league for a couple years and 67 years old, to not give anyone aside from him a shot seems ludicrous to me. Now, again, with these interviews, the nice thing is that reportedly, DeBears blog saying this again, that these interviews will be done exclusively by Ryan Poles, the ones with Caldwell, Quinn, and Eberflus. So you look at that, and you assume, I guess, the conversations they were having is, you know, McCaskey and Phillips and Bill Polian are like, all right, these are the guys we really like, whom we've narrowed it down to. And he's like, okay, yeah, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I will interview him. You know, I like Eberflus. He got the connection with him, whatever. No Dan Quinn, probably, and Jim Caldwell, all that. Yeah, you're going to interview him yourself. I would be highly surprised if anything immediately happened with three of those guys, or any guys in general, by tomorrow. That would be something else. Now, I think what's going to happen is he'll interview those guys, and he'll probably interview a couple more. I would be shocked if he didn't talk to Brian Flores. I don't know about anyone else. You know, the Leftwich train is pretty much, it seems solidified for Jacksonville, honestly. Hackett to the Broncos is what we're hearing, and maybe Dable to the Giants. People are saying, what about Eric Bieniemy now, right? I mean, you know, you got the Chiefs connection. I thought it was a no-go considering the Bears aren't going to go in the Chiefs coaching tree again, but there they are with the Chiefs organizational tree. It's a little different, naturally, but, you know, that wouldn't shock me if he talked to him. You haven't heard any rumblings about that, though. It's just people speculating, naturally. But I hope they give Brian Flores another interview with him. I want them to give an interview with all the offensive-minded guys with their GM. That's the right way to do it. That is the right approach to take. That's what needs to be done. But will that happen? Will that come to fruition? Will that happen after Wednesday? Or will it be narrowed down to those three guys? I sure as hell hope not. And it's not that I have anything personal against those three guys, but the fact that the way the NFL is moving, you can have the number one defense in the NFL, folks. Take a look at the Buffalo Bills. You can't stop the Chiefs with 13 seconds to go. You can't limit the Chiefs to at least a field goal in overtime. It does not matter how good of a defense you have. And you could say, well, if you had a better defense in the Bills, no. No, if you're the Bears, you're not getting a better defense than the Bills had this season for probably quite some time. You had the best defense statistically in terms of turnovers and points you produced and just overall in 2018. And what did that get you? An elimination in the first round of the postseason because you couldn't score more than, what, 15, 16 points, whatever the hell it was? You need to go offensive-minded, and if you don't, well, then you better hope they get a good offensive coordinator. So that's my problem, though, is not that if they end up hiring a defensive-minded head coach, you can get someone to instill a mindset and really just the mantra of what you want this organization to be. But the fact that there's only one offensive-minded guy in the finalists right now in top three, and he's 67 years old, that's a problem, and that is worrisome to me. And it should be to you, too. Again, doesn't mean it's going to be a failure. Doesn't mean that Quinn can't work with a great staff. Eberflus can't work with a great staff, and Caldwell can't kill it. We don't know. We can't predict the future, but we can assume, based on what we've seen in the past from the Bears hiring these exact guys, that it's not going to change anything, and that's what needs to happen. That's why you drafted Justin Fields. That's why you need to pertain your coaching search to him, because he is the future, and that is the future. That is right now of the NFL, developing your quarterback. You see Mahomes out there. You see Burrow out there. You see Allen out there. You see Herbert out there. You need your quarterback to be like them. That's how you win in this day and age in the NFL. So it's frustrating to so many people who are Bears fans to look at this list and go, Caldwell's the only offensive guy you got, and he's 67 years old? And anybody affiliated with the Dolphins in the past, good or bad, you know, you're going to have kind of a bad connotation around him. But he has had success, and you're hearing nothing but good things about Caldwell. So again, I'm not bearish on him by any stretch of the imagination. It's just I wish he looked at someone more closely like Dable, like Leftwich. But who knows now? Everything kind of shakes up with polls in the mix. He'll do his due diligence. He'll talk to those three guys. Like, polls isn't a dumb person, right? I mean, he's not coming in here blindly, just abiding by whatever the front office or the top of the organization for the Bears, McCaskey, Phillips, are telling him to do. Like, he's not getting strong-armed here. Like, he is going to be the man in charge. I have no doubt in that. And that was a demand, I guess, like him saying he's going to do the interviews exclusively. That's the way it should be done. That's how you take control of the situation right away. And that's what you should have expected and can believe these reports, because why the hell else would you take this job considering you had other offers, unless it were for the fact that you would have autonomy for this coaching search? So he will get the job done. Will he get the right job done? Will he get the right coach for the job? Do you have faith in him? We heard a lot of great things from national media about Ryan Pace. We heard a lot of great things from national media about Matt Nagy. You're never really going to hear a negative word about these new hires because they're all friends in the league, right? And they've done great things. But when the spotlight's on them, they get put in the big spot. Sometimes they can't shine like they did when they had someone else to hold their hand and cross the street. Matt Nagy, looking at you. Ryan Pace, looking at you. So just because all these national media guys are praising polls, and again, this isn't a knock on him. I think that's a pretty solid hire. But just because everybody says he's great, oh, Field Yates, you know, texting Sylvie on Waddle and Sylvie going, you know, A++++ higher and all this, and Carm did a great job. He's like, well, you know, Lewis Riddick said the same thing about Matt Nagy. And they're kind of sitting there in silence chuckling. But it's right. You hear this every single time. And statistically, the chances that it pans out, yes, not that often, not that frequently. But if you're looking at this unknown or just I don't know, you're in a weird place and just relying on what Jay Glazer has to say about it and other people. Like, let's see the results first. Let's see where the head coaching decision goes. Let's see how he is going to conduct his interviews, his process of the people he narrows it down to, and if he expands. If he doesn't expand at least one or two more people, I won't be a fan of that, I'll tell you right now. And I think he'll be good for the job. I will, or I do. You know, I got faith in him, but again, let's slow our roll just because he was with the Chiefs that he's going to be this godsend of a GM. And no one's necessarily putting him up that high, but you just see everybody say exceptional hire, phenomenal, fantastic, amazing, great job by the Bears. Like, they're not going to say crap hire. Like, Ben McAdoo's the only hire by the Panthers for offensive coordinator. The people were like, what are we doing? Different organizations from the Panthers and the Bears, however, right? So who knows? But, you know, I really hope that he kind of expands his list a little bit. And it'd be hard to imagine he would. I mean, put yourself in his shoes, right? Like, if you're getting pretty much full control, why would you only interview the three guys that the Bears already narrowed down for you? You will interview them respectfully because that's who the Bears' top office liked, and they told you that. So, yeah, okay, I'll do that. But also, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to talk to the guys I want to talk to. I'm going to do it by myself so I'm not influenced by upper management. That is how it should be. So props to him in that regard. But what are you feeling now as a Bears fan? Are you feeling good about it? Did you want another GM? Are you mad because of who the coaches are narrowed down to? I know you are. Everybody is. You know, you see everybody taking these polls and, you know, tweeting about it. And everyone's like, what? Because, well, when you think of Quinn, you think of 28-3. When you think of Caldwell, well, you think he hasn't been in the league for a while. He's 67, and he was part of the Lions, albeit pretty good with the Lions. Eberflus, defensive-minded, not a big name. That's why people don't care too much for him. So, a lot to digest with this. At the end of the day, it's good that the Bears got their GM first. That's what you're happy about, right? We can be happy about that. We can be content about that. And again, he had the choice probably from the Vikings and the Bears. It's the reason he chose the Bears. He's going to do his due diligence, guys. I believe it, but I would prefer if he expands his interview list. I think that is the appropriate step to take. Now, sticking on the conversation of this a little bit, what do we feel about George McCaskey picking him up at O'Hare? You know, sporting the Bears mask, the Bears jacket, the Bears color on his feet. You know, some people out there going, what the hell are you doing? You're the Bears. You know, give him a limo, fly him on a private jet. Oh, relax. If that's your biggest concern, you're just nitpicking. And I am the biggest critic of McCaskey and this Bears organization as much as anybody, if not more, if you've ever listened to this damn show. Okay? If it was really between the Vikings and the Bears, that's a good move by McCaskey. And in hindsight, if this works out, you're going to be like, you know what, McCaskey, that was a great gesture. The Bears are an organization run by a family, and he wants to be treated as such, or at least display that he should be treated as such. Pick him up in the airport, talk to him. Like, that's fine. That's cool. Like, what's the issue with that? That makes it more personal. That shows that McCaskey can be personable himself and really cares and wanted him. He was going the extra mile and the extra length to say, hey, we really want you with the Bears. If it was 50-50 with the Bears and the Vikings. Who cares? That's awesome. That's a cool move. You're the owner of the Bears just strutting around one of the busiest airports in America. Like, if not the busiest airport in America. Like, that's awesome, man. If they have a problem with it, go pound sand. Like, take it easy. It's fine. You're just nitpicking to be nitpicky. We're not the Patriots. We're not the Cowboys. We don't have big flashy owners who do stuff like that, okay? And that could be enticing to a guy like Poles and why he came here. I mean, I would think that's pretty cool. Yeah, it'd be cool to go in a limo and a private jet. You'll get that once you get the job, but he's really showing that he wants you and that he's being vulnerable coming into the, I mean, obviously I'm going deeper into it than it needs to be, but you get my point. It was a cool move. Don't be a negative Nancy, all right? It was a cool move. Other news. Coming out of the NFL, Sean Payton retiring. That's right. Sean Payton is out as the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. So what does that mean? I know there is already the rumblings of, well, Sean Payton and the Bears being tied together. That would obviously be amazing. That would be fantastic. Is there any validity to it? I don't know about that. I really haven't seen anything. The only person that ever really reported it was Albert Breer. And he was kind of subtly saying it throughout the course of the season, saying, hey, you know, Sean Payton, like, would very subtly say it. That would be amazing if it happened. Of course it would. What a bummer for the Saints. You don't want to chill with Taysom Hill with that long contract and all the bad spots the Saints are in. How can you blame him? I mean, it's going to be kind of a rebuild. And, you know, the NFC South, granted, if Tom Brady's not there, opens up. But I think you see Sean Payton probably in the booth for a year or two, come back to coaching, if not coaching as soon as possible. But that's the other big news today. I don't think, yeah, I mean, like, Greg Gabriel just tweeted this out, and he was like, Sean Payton will relax for a year and then pick the team he wants to coach. And I think he's right. So maybe not ideal timing for the Bears, but that's probably what's going to happen with Payton. So I'm definitely not getting my hopes up by any stretch, but that would be awesome. Aside from that, though, like I said, my top three has been the same. It's been Flores, it's been Leftwich, it's been Dable. And I'm not going to sit here. By the way, apologies for no video today. I had to go back to the homeland and the burbs and get the old dentist appointment. So just going audio today, but give you a break from seeing my ugly mug. So anyways, I'm sitting here. I'm not going to be like, I know that Dable's going to be great. I know that Leftwich is going to be great. You have more backbone to put it on Flores that we've seen the success, but we haven't seen Dable or Leftwich as head coaches. And you can make the argument, well, you got Josh Allen, McDermott to help out. Well, you got Arians, you got Tom Brady to help out. I get it. I just think that they would be great additions for Fields. And Dable's probably three, Flores, Leftwich, 1A, 1B. And you still need to go offensive-minded. You're like, Danny, what are you talking about? You're bitching about the Bears going defense. Why would you want Flores? Well, because he's had the most recent success, and he can bring in a staff to help. Again, the interesting tie here is, where does Jim Caldwell play into this equation? Is he okay at the age of 67, solely focusing on offensive coordinator and developing Justin Fields? He did that with Flores as quarterback coach, and we already know that, I guess, Poles has a connection with Flores from college and beyond. Can that actually be a thing? I don't know, but I don't think we're going to hear anything for a couple more days at least. I want to see and hope to see if we get more news about him expanding the interviews. That's the biggest thing to look out for. If it's narrowed down to those three, again, Eberflus is my top choice, then it's probably Caldwell, I guess, and then it's going to be Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn thrived when he was just a defensive coordinator. He had his moments as a head coach, but again, that reputation is hard to live down. You don't need coaches, players with those type of reputations being the leaders of your team. And it's a different situation. Everything changes. Yes, you can get better, bounce back, second chance. I get it. I'm just not on that Dan Quinn train unless the staff is incredible. Now, the thing here about it really quick, too, to elaborate it on a little bit more. You know, you can make the joke, the last time the Bears got someone from Kansas City worked out so well, right? Well, it's a little bit different from GM and head coach. Poles knows what it takes to build a winning team. He has literally been a part of it. Matt Nagy's there calling plays easy when you have Andy Reid guiding you, and, well, you also have Patrick Mahomes and all these weapons around you, right? I'm not doubting that Matt Nagy couldn't do that again with the Chiefs, and it's harder to do with a team like the Bears. Doesn't necessarily translate to guaranteed success, clearly. But with Poles, you know, regardless of who the coaching situation is, I think if you at least get the right players there and you at least get a good enough coach to develop Fields, the Bears can be a playoff team as soon as possible with the expanded postseason. Again, at the end of this past season, I said, what the Eagles are doing now, the Bears are capable of doing this upcoming year. Doesn't mean I think they're going to do it or know they're going to do it, but I think they are capable of doing it if they get the right pieces in place. So I have faith in Poles. I am willing to be excited about it. How can you not be? And I guess if you want to, like, look, Poles has been there since the dominance and even beforehand with Kansas City. So he has seen the transition. He knows, again, what the recipe is. And yes, the recipe is drafting Patrick Mahomes for sure. But Patrick Mahomes is great because of Tyreek Hill, who they drafted. Travis Kelce. I'm actually not sure when Kelce got drafted, but regardless, part of the squad. And Mecole Hardman, Pringle, you know, those speedy guys are type of players that the Bears need to invest in. The offensive line, he just helped rebuild that for the Chiefs after they got embarrassed with it in the Super Bowl. Great offensive line play now. Defense, well, you're the Bears. You're probably going to have a solid defense regardless because that's just how it always is. And again, defense ain't winning you the Super Bowl, folks. Justin Fields is the guy you need to play well to win the Super Bowl. So I believe in Poles again. I will get on this train. I will support him. I will have trust in him. Even if it's just a narrowed down three candidates, I will have faith in him because, again, he knew that that those were the three finalists that at least McCaskey, Phillips, Polian liked. But he said, no, I'm going to conduct those second interviews, whatever, on my own. I will respect you and do that. And who knows if he expands his list, but I think he'd be crazy not to. It's not like this is just coming out of nowhere, right? Like he's had a plan. So good things should be coming. Hopefully brighter days for us Bears fans. That's all we can hope for. And hopefully it's with the new era and new age and not some 67-year-old being head coach. Again, nothing against Caldwell, guys. Nothing against him. But if he's at OC or something with quarterbacks, that is completely fine. But who is going to change the attitude at Hallis Hall? Who is going to change the mental fortitude that is preached at Soldier Field and eventually in Arlington Heights? Can it be Quinn? Can it be Eberflus? Can it be Caldwell? Who knows? Ryan Poles, we hope you know, my man, but welcome to Chicago. All right, coming up next, we're going to do a little bit of recap from the Blackhawks and the Bulls game last night, and then we'll look at some NFL championship weekend action just in terms of the future situations and some interesting wagers that could catch your eye for some value. May not be a lot, but may be sufficient enough to be worth a bet. So we'll discuss that next. Right here it is, the Chicago City Cast presented by Bet Rivers.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook wants you to experience Rush Pay. When you want to cash out your winnings, you don't want to wait 2 days just to get the go-ahead to withdraw your money. That's why Bet Rivers created Rush Pay. With Rush Pay, 80% of withdrawal requests are approved instantly, meaning you'll get your money faster. Why wait? Get your cash when you want it. Bet with a winner. Bet with Bet Rivers Sportsbook at BetRivers.com. Not valid for any participant in the Illinois Gaming Board statewide voluntary self-exclusion program. Must be 21 years of age or older. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral service can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-426-6537.
Okay, part two of this Tuesday edition of the Chicago CityCast presented by Bet Rivers is underway. Again, Danny Burke, your host, at DannyBurke5. You can catch me on Twitter. I'll try to share my thoughts in terms of the whole Bears head coaching GM debacle and retweet as much stuff as possible. So follow me on the tweets at DannyBurke5. Also tweet out link to my show Rush Hour, which is on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Central Time. You can catch the first half hour on the Marquee Sports Network. Otherwise, you can get a hold of it at VSiN.com. That's VSIN.com, along with the VSiN app, YouTube TV, the Xfinity app, iHeartRadio, meaning wherever you get your podcasts, and then Fubo and Sling TV as well. First part of the show, naturally, we're talking about the exciting news for the Bears. Ryan Poles named new GM, the 36-year-old, formerly with the Kansas City Chiefs, assistant director of player personnel. A lot of good things to be heard and or said about Ryan Poles, which is awesome. I mean, you want to see the national media hyping him up and hear good things about your new guy running your favorite team. But at the same time, look, we've gotten caught in that mix before. So let's just wait a little bit and see what unfolds in the coming months, years, seasons, etc. But I'm excited nevertheless. And like I was saying too, or like I've always said, I mean, like I try to tell you when I'm recording this. So this is like mid-afternoon after the news, obviously, on Tuesday. So if anything else comes out, sorry, I'm trying to keep refreshing Twitter as much as possible. And yeah, we're just trying to get by here in the middle of the week. And I'm sure we will hear plenty more of rumors going on within the next couple of days, especially after tomorrow on Wednesday. I'm sure we'll hear rumblings of, you know, who wowed polls, who we impressed out of the final three, and we'll try to expand on that as much as possible. Maybe not the most exciting three, but you got to have a little bit of faith in your new guy. You don't have to have faith in the organization, in the top guys, but if they hired the right guy in GM, in Ryan Poles, then the Bears could be on the right track. How about the Bulls, though? Are the Bulls on the right track? Last night did not give you confidence they were, but they did get the dub nevertheless, 111-110. So I was actually not able to watch the full part of this game. I helped coach an eighth grade feeder team with one of my rival high schools, oddly enough, but my good buddy got asked to coach. So him and I helped coach the team for eighth graders. So sometimes I'm missing these games and try to keep an update as much as possible at practice. So I was going on Twitter, if I'm not mistaken, what? The Bulls had like over a 20-point lead. That doesn't seem like it would be right, but I'm kind of just looking at the box score. But regardless, the Bulls had a pretty sizable lead at one point, right? And they did what they tend to do, which is blow these leads. And they held on, though. So impressive performances to throw out there. First, Javonte Green back in the mix. Awesome. Big rebound at the end of the game. I was able to see that. And really quick, too. Sorry, I know I keep going back because I just keep remembering what also I want to add on there. So we talked about this game and we bet the Bulls money line, right? And I was awaiting the news, hopefully, as we all were, that LaVine, Javonte Green would be back and Vooch would play. And I was like, well, if they do play, this line probably goes up to 4.5. Gets announced. Nothing too crazy. But then it gets announced that DeRozan's out. So it's like, you're getting one thing, but you're losing another. Still stood by my Bulls position. And thankfully, I did. No one said it'd be easy. Troy Brown Jr., dropping 10 points. Vooch stepping up. Attaboy. 26 points after a lackluster performance against the Magic. LaVine, 23 points. Welcome back, my friend. Io freaking Dosunmu, absolute stud. 24 points. 10 of 14 from the floor. 4 of 6 from beyond the arc. 5 rebounds. 8 assists. He fouled out, but he was plus 15. Half-court shot at the end of the third ended up being a difference maker. Kobe White's got to do better than 3 of 14 from the floor with 31 minutes recorded. 7 rebounds, 7 assists, pretty decent, but Kobe has lost his touch over these last few games. Need that to change. But Io has been the savior for this Bulls team. LaVine, awesome performance. Vooch, awesome performance. But man, you can't get comfortable in this league. I don't care who the hell you're playing. OKC 14-32 going into it, doesn't matter. You guys are struggling immensely. The issue in this game, and I don't want to be the person be like, I told you so, rub it in, and that's not what I'm trying to say. But what I'm trying to say is, why do I always end up betting the money line on short spreads? Because of what the hell exactly happened in this game, and happened in the very first game of the season with the Bulls. If it's like -3 or less in terms of the spread, and it's like -155 or less, I will gladly lay the money line price. You can argue that over time laying that is not going to be profitable. I guess it depends what teams you're betting, what your record is, and quality over quantity for sure. But I am willing to do that so I don't suffer a brutal beat that makes me want to ram my head into a wall like a majority of Bulls backers experienced last night. Line was anywhere from -2 to -1. And even if you had -1, you pushed. I know some people got the Bulls catching one, so kudos to you. But if you had Bulls -1 to -2 or anything laying with Chicago, bad beat. 111-107, Javonte Green missed one of the free throws. And then they get a wide open three to do the Thunder with a second left. Knock down the three. They cover. 111-110. Moneyline cash is -125. I always say I would rather lay more to have the extra security than to get beat by some brutal crap that happens in such a volatile sport with free throws and dumb chuck-ups like the NBA and like we just saw last night. That's why I always preach it. Josh Applebaum, VSiN's betting reporter, does the same thing. That's our philosophy when it comes down to it. And I'll do it in football too, which realistically shouldn't matter as much as the NBA for sure. Not as many scoring opportunities as frequently. But man, when it comes down to it, guys, look, unless you're betting an obscene amount of money, if you're just an average Joe bettor, if it's like minus 120, minus 125, just take the money line. If it's minus one, just take the money line. Just give yourself that sense of security so you don't suffer a brutal beat like a lot of people endured from taking the spread on the Bulls. I'm not saying it was the wrong play. And again, I'm not trying to be the I told you so guy because I caught a break one time. Like, no, I'm going to eat it from time to time for paying more on the money line when they get blown out or something like that for sure. But the thing is, even if it's minimal and it just stands out more because it's a bad beat, taking those bad beats takes a toll on you, man, especially in the sport of the NBA, which in my opinion is arguably the hardest to handicap. But regardless, as ugly as it was, as bad of a beat as it was for some people, at least we cashed on the Bulls' money line, and at least the Bulls got the job done. Blackhawks, on the other side, did not get the job done. We talked about this game. It's got to be Avalanche or nothing, and Colorado finished the biz. They got it done 2-0. Blackhawks had their chances. No doubt about that. They had a lot of good opportunities, just couldn't cash it in against the Avalanche's backup goalie. Blackhawks, they will have, who will they be looking forward to playing next? I think they got a game on Wednesday. Let's see. Yeah, they got the Red Wings on the road against the Red Wings. Detroit already a slight favorite, about minus 125. Interesting. Could be a good spot for the Blackhawks, but Detroit, not too shabby at home this season. They've been pretty decent in some spots. But again, you know me, I'm probably not going to touch the Blackhawks unless I'm fading them, that's for sure. Bulls on the other side. The next time we will see the Bulls will be Wednesday. They will be hosting the Raptors. And it's kind of funny. I was going to say big game, but realistically, every freaking game is a big game for Chicago at this point. But at home against a Raptors team that, look, they're banged up themselves, but they're not too shabby. It's going to be an important game. But you'll get DeRozan back, presumably. You'll get LaVine, Vooch, Javonte Green. You're getting in the right direction. So we'll get a little bit more normalcy from this Bulls squad, guys. And that's what we can look forward to in terms of handicapping and getting back into that sense. And then from a fan perspective, Caruso being out stinks. Lonzo Ball being out stinks. Patrick Williams being out stinks. At least you get Javonte Green back. Derek Jones Jr. still out for a little bit of time. Defense is going to take a hit. We know this. It's been trending that way regardless of the injuries. But as long as you get the offense, knowing that we have the defense coming back in the important play of the postseason, that's when it will matter. But for right now, as long as you're outscoring your other opponents and you're not turning the ball over, you're not giving them second chance opportunities, you're not blowing leads, that will suffice for the time being. And that's asking a lot. I get it. But there are a lot of things like that the Bulls need to work on. Need to get some comfortable victories and can certainly do it tomorrow against the Raptors. So I'll be interested to see where this line comes out. I'd maybe guess like, well, the Raptors actually play tonight. So second leg of a back-to-back, maybe you get the Bulls as like a 4.5-point favorite. Maybe you get some love on Toronto from some sharps. I don't know. But I wish the Bulls would be a little bit shorter here. If not, we'll probably end up in-gaming. You know how we do it. But it will be a fun game regardless on Wednesday at the UC. It's a makeup game actually from December 22nd. So that's why they got this spot against Toronto. All right, that's going to do it for another edition of the Chicago CityCast presented by Bet Rivers. I do have a couple of plays, folks, but they're a little bit more national. So check out Rush Hour tonight, 5 to 6, and you'll get some of that action every weekday, Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Central Time. VSiN.com/subscribe, folks. Check it out. Check out my Twitter at DannyBurke5. I'll try to tweet and retweet as much Bears info as possible so you don't have to be scrolling through. And it's always much appreciated if you like or subscribe to the podcast wherever you are getting it available. Always helps out when you get notified when the episodes get released. If you could get the good number on the bets, the analysis right away. And if you feel so inclined, please always appreciate as well if you like or subscribe, share some criticism, whatever it may be. Always thankful for anybody tuning in and leaving a review. But again, that's going to do it for myself, Danny Burke. Exciting times, folks. At least we got movements. At least they got the GM first. That's what we can say, and that's what we can agree on. Is it the right move? TBD. And we're not going to know for quite some time, even despite who the head coach is. But let's hope it's offensive-oriented. Even if it's a defensive guy, we need to get someone offensive in there for the OC. If it's Dan Quinn, get that killer staff. If it's Eberflus, maybe bring in Caldwell for OC. I don't know. Get something going. Pulse, work your magic, baby. Chicago's ready to explode with excitement for their football team. We need those new broad horizons. More coverage on this throughout the course of the week. Until then, best of luck with your wagers, ladies and gents, and take care.